said he gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women.
Cast of the Champions, episode 4. I am your host, Mike. Welcome to yet another show looking into the world of professional wrestling as seen through the eyes of me, Mike Spiesman. Get the admin stuff out of the way real quick. I do have a new Twitter account just for this Cast the Champions podcast. It is Cast of Champion. You can only get so many letters in on these Twitter handles. You can reach me there, Cast of Champion. Don't forget to go to our Facebook page, Cast of the Champions, Facebook/ Cast of the Champions. So, so we got that part out of the way. Pretty busy week in wrestling, especially with WWE. The big news that they got their, they finally got the WWE Network launch done. It's going to go into effect on February 24th, which is the right after the Raw after the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. This network is just going to be fucking fantastic. It's going to have all the old school wrestling events that really you could never even think of. It sounds like right now they're just going to, as of right now, you're only going to really be able to see the pay-per-views from WCW, ECW, and old school WWF, WWE. But eventually they're going to get into where you could probably watch all the old shows whenever you want to. We'll see how it goes. Either way, $10 a month. In a way to pay for that, it's going to be a 6-month subscription, so you have to pay $60 for 6 months. I don't fucking care. I'll pay $120 for the whole year to get it out of the way. You get all the pay-per-views for free, which right there, you're already saving money. WrestleMania itself, which is the first pay-per-view they're going to show on the WWE Network, is $75 itself. So you're paying that first 6-month subscription, you're already paying for the network. So this is perfect. You can watch in any app, anything. I got an iPod myself. I got an iPod. We got a laptop or a desktop, which is how I record this podcast. And I just bought myself a PlayStation 4 today, actually. So I've been messing with that since I got home from work. So you can put it on that. That actually, I was kind of torn between the Xbox One or the PlayStation 4. But the fact that you can put the WWE Network on PlayStation 4 and not Xbox One was another one of the selling points for me to get on the PlayStation 4. So, this network's going to be pretty cool. I'm really looking forward to seeing it, and I don't think I'll be watching too much other stuff, which is not going to make my wife too happy, but, we'll get over it. It is what it is. Already seen that it's already causing a problem. I have DirecTV, love DirecTV, and it looks like that they're going to drop the WWE pay-per-views. Hopefully they wait till after Royal Rumble, because I am going to buy the Royal Rumble. Probably the last pay-per-view I buy. I'll just bootleg Elimination Chamber next month. I'll make sure I have updated on this podcast. So, kudos to WWE. This is going to absolutely destroy TNA. During last week's show, which was very well received. Thank you very much. There's a lot of people that actually got on that show and listened to it. It's humbling to know that people are actually going on there listening to me talk, and I guess probably a lot of it was that I had my buddy Paul on there to just kind of give our perspective. We kind of bickered back and forth a little bit. I've even changed some of my predictions for WrestleMania in that last week alone due to what's going on TV, but I got off track pretty quick there, didn't I? Whoa. The WWE Network, it's a good deal. It's going to come off really well. So there was that. Also, a couple other little news. Caitlyn got released. So, WWE is going to take any legitimate female wrestler and get rid of her. So I don't understand the point behind that, but whatever. She's actually growing on me. She's looking better too. I guess maybe because I've seen some of the pictures, the old school pictures of her on Twitter and everything. But it is what it is. I think she kind of got burned out from wrestling quickly, and she wanted to go somewhere else. So she's going to go into other ventures. So not really one of the longest 10-year divas to just take off. The shows this week, got to catch TNA after the bowl games were going on last week. TNA, SmackDown, I'll review a couple of both of them. I did not watch TNA's little YouTube pay-per-view thingy about they had what was a tag team thing. I didn't see it. I will find it this week, and that will be on next week's episode. So I'll cover that before I cover the actual show to kind of go in with it. I should have watched it, but just never got a chance with all the bowl games and the playoffs and everything. Good weekend of playoffs too, by the way. So, all right. Also, make sure, last little plug here, go over there and check out the NitroCast. Paul got his little look back into time, into old school WCW, the Nitro era. Right now, he is at around World War III, which was WCW's answer to the Royal Rumble. And it was a shitty attempt at that, too. It's a shitstorm, and Paul tells you all about that in his podcast. So, but go back, check that out. It's available to download on iTunes and Podomatic. So go check that out. And check him out, Y2Stump, on Twitter as well. Okay, so first show I'm going to cover today was last week's Impact Wrestling, which, you know, they're back in the Impact Zone, which is a good thing. They weren't really cutting it out in the, you know, out on the road like WWE does with Raw. Show starts off with the video packages focusing on the new champion Magnus, because the show is going to end with his coronation. Kurt Angle comes out first for the show. He talks about 2013 wasn't a great year for him. He always took pride in being a world-class athlete, and that's why he turned down to be a part of the Hall of Fame. He says he called him a cyborg. In 2013, he was not that. He's out here tonight to reveal his plans for 2014. Bobby Roode comes out. He's wondering why Angle just doesn't walk away. He said he wants him to look him in the eyes, some face to face, that he is the it factor of professional wrestling. I really have to work on my notes here. Angle's out to your review that his plans for 2014 is to challenge Roode to one more match. Roode says Angle's out of his mind, saying absolutely not. He said he has nothing to prove to the world or Angle. They are done, Roode says. Roode then offers that they do have one more match, but only under one stipulation, that if he wins, Angle can never accept the Hall of Fame induction into TNA ever again. Angle accepts, and it will take place in a few weeks at Genesis in Huntsville, Alabama. He says it will be inside of a steel cage. They start brawling again as all the officials and everybody come out there to break it up. And then Rockstar Spud comes out and says that this is not going to ruin the night. And he books a tag team match that they can both find partners. Backstage, Dixie said she finally found herself the perfect champion with Magnus. And tonight will be the perfect coordination. They cut the interview. And she goes to another room and handed a note, and she looks concerned. So, don't understand why, if it's a tape promo, if they need to cut and the camera keep rolling, but you know, it is what it is. Come back from commercial, she says that the note says she'll see you tonight with no signature. She wants Rockstar Spud to come out to figure out who it came from. Spud says he will find out for Madam Dixie. So it's kind of funny there. Back in the ring, Gail Kim is out with Lady Tapa is how you say your name. She says it's a brand new year and it's time for a new Gail Kim open challenge. This time Madison Rayne opens the challenge. So yep, the typical chick match. They have their match, and then it ends with Rayne actually countering the eat defeat. I didn't even know that's what her finisher was called. Gets a roll up for the win. Mike Tenay says that Madison deserves a title shot for pinning the champion, so we'll see what goes on with that. Backstage, my girlfriend, Velvet Sky, is getting ready. Chris Sabin says she needs to listen to him, so he leaves with the X Division Championship tonight. He says if he doesn't leave without the title, he leaves tonight without her. I don't understand how you could make that decision to just leave her for any reason whatsoever, whether it's staged or not. Because, I don't know, my top five, she's probably number two. She's probably pushing number one for me. I love Velvet Sky, as I've said before. Backstage, Kurt Angle's trying to recruit Gunnar as partner, and James Storm walks up and he isn't really happy about it. TNA X Division Championship match. Austin Aries and Chris Sabin. Velvet Sky comes out with her. Before the match starts, Sabin wants a kiss on the cheek from Velvet Sky. She gives him a kiss, and Aries takes out Sabin right away with a huge dropkick. Aries gets a close two early on and applies a bridging chin lock right away. Sabin is yelling at Velvet to help him. Sabin keeps yelling at Velvet, and I don't understand how he did that. A little bit more match, back and forth. It gets to a point where Sabin is yelling at Velvet to get ready, so she's supposed to help him out. Velvet jumps on the ring apron. Aries tells her to get down. Sabin with a low blow and gets Aries in a small package to get the pinfall. So, new X Division champion, Chris Sabin. So, he gets the belt back from Austin Aries. After the match, Jeremy Borash interviews the champ. He wants to thank the one person that helped him win the title back, himself. See, and then he goes up the ramp with the Dragon Velvet Sky backstage with him. We go backstage and there's Rockstar Spud. He has a phone call and he hangs up on him again. Whatever, I don't like this guy. Samuel Shaw is out next to make his official debut. He puts on some gloves and escorts Christy Hemme out of the ring. He has a match with Norv Freenum. Jeez, I really gotta work on my notes. Yeah, just a kind of a shitty match. Shaw applies a choke on Freenum in the ball, and he falls for the match. So I guess he tapped out. Didn't really see it, but that was the end of the match. After the match, Shaw gets out of there. He keeps staring at Christy for it. So that's what it was. That's right, Samuel Shaw. That's right, man. I'm really behind. He's Chris Tammy's wife, our husband. So yep, so he's there now. Good. Backstage, James Storm has made it clear that being a tag team special in TNA, and tonight he wants to prove that Kurt Angle made the wrong choice going with Gunnar. He walks off, says, "Just who I'm looking for." The door opens, says, "Just who I'm looking for." James Storm wants to be Bobby Roode's partner tonight. Roode wants to know why he can trust him. Storm said he doesn't like Roode, but he wants to send a message tonight. Roode refuses. Storm promises to be out there tonight, either as his partner or kicking everyone's ass. Which I think would be awesome, because Beer Money was a great, great tag team. They're one of the highlights of TNA a couple years ago. So it'd be cool just to see them, even if it is for just one night. And they're probably in that tag team tournament, because I'll watch that later and get into that next week. Another disclaimer, too. I'm sounding sick, so if I don't sound like myself and I keep coughing and everything, I'm getting sick. So it's kind of out of it, and been kind of beat up all week. So just to put that out there as well. So I apologize if I cough into the microphone. I'm trying not to. Next match is Kurt Angle and Gunnar versus basically Beer Money, Bobby Roode and James Storm. Pretty good match. The crowd keeps chanting Beer Money throughout. Match ends when Roode drops Gunnar off his shoulders with a neck breaker and gets a pinfall. Bobby Roode and James Storm are your winner. After the match, Kurt Angle attacks Bobby Roode. Angle attempts to Angle Slam and Roode counters, balling out to the outside. Angle points and yells at Roode as Roode yells at him from the ramp. Backstage, Rockstar Spud thinks Sting sent the letter. Sting was said he didn't send it and he's here to talk to Dixie in person. Go to commercial, come back. EC3 is out and he has a mic. He claims to have changed the face of wrestling in 2013. Carter talks about going up against tough competition. He talks about Jeff Hardy saying he is leaving TNA last week and challenges him to a match right now. Carter demands Christy Hemme introduce his opponent. Hardy's music plays and he doesn't come out. Carter wants a 10 count. When he gets to 9, Sting's music hits. Sting refuses to allow Carter to trash Hardy. Carter says he's done with Sting since he beat him already. Sting wants Carter to prove he is a man. Carter refuses to allow Sting to manipulate him and starts to leave. Carter goes to walk out when he turns around and says he will face Sting 1-on-1 in 2 weeks at Genesis. So we're finally going to get that match. As I said last week on my podcast, EC3 is a guy who has the potential to have a big breakout year, so we'll see how that one goes. Backstage with Eric Young, he's trying to help out Joseph Park to realize he is Abyss. He said he can't be out there tonight with him and that Park needs to remember who he really is. Ray walks up warning Park to not wrestle tonight. He warns Park he will set him on fire. So, yep, Bully Ray is threatening to, he's bullying people, so he's going to put Joseph Park on fire. Bell rings, Bully Ray is standing in the corner wearing a hoodie with his head down. Park moves forward, slowly getting closer. Ray moves his head up, staring down Park, and hits him with a low blow kick. The ref calls for the bell. As the bell continues to ring, Bully Ray squeezes lighter fluid all over Joseph Park. Ray pulls out a lighter when Mr. Anderson's music hits. I just dropped my notes. Awesome. Mr. Anderson's music hits, and he can, where did I lost my, okay, here we go. Hits the ring, and Ray starts pouring the lighter fluid all over him as well. Anderson backs up as Ray turns on the lighter. Anderson doesn't seem scared, and he continues to stare down Ray. Ray exits the ring, heads to the back. Of course, we're not going to have someone flaming like Vampiro back in the waning days of WCW in that Inferno match. I'll never forget that when he fell off, or the Sting that fell off the, like the little Titantron thing there they had. I'll have to go back and watch that. Thank you, WWE Network. I'll have to go do that. It's now time for the coronation of the new TNA champion. Rockstar Spud and EC3 are in the ring as part of Dixie Carter. Rockstar Spud, he describes Carter as the queen. EC3 is the master of ceremonies. They say they may worship a queen over thieves, but in America, the 1% are the ones to worship. He introduces TNA President Dixie Carter. Here we go. She's going to come out and talk. She talks about how she discovered Magnus 5 years ago, and he is the true champion he is today. She introduces the new TNA World Champion, Magnus. He also thinks there's a very special lady, Miss Dixie Carter. Magnus said he's sure that the fans figured it would be Kurt Angle or Jeff Hardy standing here, standing before you as the TNA champion. He said the fans turned their backs on him, and he will never take a back seat to anyone in his business. Then Gunner's music hits, and he walks out holding up his briefcase with a title shot inside. We are back in a comeback from commercial. Gunner said he is ready to fight. He wants to cash in his briefcase. Dixie says not to ring the bell. Gunner grabs Rockstar Spud and tosses him away. Gunner does the same to EC3. Magnus goes after Gunner when EC3 and Rockstar Spud get involved. EC3 and Spud hold back Gunner. Magnus is going to hit Gunner with his title when AJ Styles hits the ring. So the talk of his demise appeared to not be so as he comes in to make the save for Gunner. Styles has his TNA championship in hand. Both he and Magnus stare at each other, not holding up their titles. So basically we're getting that the night that Cena won his belt over Rey Mysterio, the kind of Rey Mysterio screw job night. We're getting that now, only they didn't do it as quick as, so that's the one thing they did right. They didn't do him coming back as quick as WWE did. So Styles said he's here when Dixie screwed all the people and created her own champion. He calls Magnus a farce. Styles tells Magnus he is champion until he beats the TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Styles is still the champion. He's going to challenge him. Styles says we can only have one champion. He said now is the time for Magnus to prove who he says he is. Dixie tells Magnus he doesn't have to do anything. Styles says the deal is on the table and the choice is up to Magnus. Magnus tells Styles he isn't better than him, and if he wants him to prove it, he will next week. Except the challenge of Styles. Dixie says that isn't going to happen. Magnus says if that is the case, then he is gone. Dixie says you can't allow someone without a contract to wrestle. Magnus asks Dixie to give Styles a one-night contract. Dixie says if Magnus loses, then she has nothing. He says it's time to roll the dice as he's feeling lucky. And then the show ends with Magnus and Styles staring down at each other. So, you know, a lot of dead space in this show. And it really... it was quick to actually kind of fast forward through it, the parts. So it's TNA, and it's good that AJ Styles is back. for how long, I don't know. I read a little bit of what happened last night, so I'll keep that for next week. But you know, not a bad show for TNA. We'll see where they go from here. So, and I will watch the tag team tournament this weekend. Take some notes on that one, and then we'll go from there. So, SmackDown from January 3rd, 2014. Excuse me. Kind of get the show starts off with the Shield. Man, my notes. I really got to fix my notes. Maybe I should start typing them up. The Shield in the ring and say your egos have gotten out of control. He says that what CM Punk fails to understand is the Shield cannot be divided. Ambrose hands the mic to Roman Reigns, who says that there is no weak link in the Shield. During this, he actually gives a little look to Dean Ambrose, I notice. He says that lately the setbacks have been temporary. So the match is going to be the Usos and Reigns and Rollins. So they have a match. After a while, they get interrupted. Excuse me, I'm not really feeling up to this right now. I'm gonna pause this. Okay, and I'm back. Sorry, I went to get something to drink. I was not really feeling good today. So, again, I apologize for that. Go back into SmackDown here. Opening match was Usos and Rollins and Reigns. So, after during the match, Dean Ambrose would pull off one of the Usos out of the ring. This was all in a disqualification. The Shield then look to beat down the Usos, but CM Punk comes out, makes a save, assisting the Usos in battling back against the Shield, forcing the trio to retreat to the crowd. This leads Vicky Guerrero to making a six-man tag match for the main event of the evening. So, Vicky Guerrero doing her best Teddy Long impression. Bandingo's now in the ring. He's in action against R-Truth with Xavier Woods on commentary. During the match, Theory Woods called for Funkadactyls to come out dancing, distracting Fandango long enough for R-Truth to hit the what's up on Fandango, picking up the win. And it was kind of a quick match, just a filler match. Show the events of what happened on Raw with Daniel Bryan succumbing to Bray Wyatt, becoming a member of the Wyatt family. We have the Wyatt family members, Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, challenging Dusty and Cody Rhodes for the Tag Team Championship on SmackDown. Just a back-and-forth match at the end. It was Goldust getting a quick roll-up on Eric Rowan to get the three count to retain the tag titles for the Rhodes families. Up next, the Divas are in action as Oksana goes one-on-one with Nikki Bella. Yeah, it was a match. And in the end, Nikki hit the whatever that move is on for the win on Oksana. So that's just a bunch of filler Divas crap on there. Tonight, next match, we got Big E Langston facing Curtis Axel. Of course, it's not for the title. Why would it be? This is a squash match as Big E ends up putting Curtis Axel away with a big ending, though. So this show just really rolled along. Main event's up next. After what happened earlier in the night, it's CM Punk and the Usos facing the Shield. Rounds, really, really good match back and forth between all six of these guys. CM Punk, the match, the ending of the match was the GTS on Dean Ambrose. So he gets the win by pinning Dean Ambrose, and him and the Usos win. So SmackDown's really become kind of just fodder show. I'm not going to lie, most of my notes were kind of half-assed for those two shows. I did take a lot better notes for Raw, more in-depth notes of what I want to say. So that's pretty much the main gist of that. So, excuse me, I do apologize for being out of it. I am really not feeling good, so I'll get through this. My in-depth notes from Raw. The show started off. It's old school Raw. Ric Flair opens up the night, welcomes everybody old school Raw, and Randy Orton comes out. They share a quick hug. Orton starts bitching about having to face John Cena again at the Royal Rumble. Flair told him that when he was world champion, he performed every night, and that he should just shut up and fight Cena. Orton's attitude really changed here, and he started threatening Flair, to include saying, "You're the most overrated star in the history of wrestling," which I heard that, and I just was like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know who you're talking to? Yeah, so that was awesome. So it looked like they're about ready to fight, and down comes Mr. John Cena, and he tells him, "Every time you open your mouth, you reach a new level of scumbag." And starts it off, you feeling froggy, let's dance. Orton kind of gets out of the ring and doesn't want to fight him. Cena does a little flare strut with Ric Flair. Just kind of show what happens later on. The good thing about this segment is the fact that you don't see John Cena and Randy Orton for the rest of the show. So we get a whole bunch of other stuff for the show, and it turns out to be a pretty good show with a great ending. I don't spoil it right now. I'm sure you guys already know. The next match is the Wyatts with Daniel Bryan making his Wyatt family entrance. I saw so many stuff on Twitter about how he looked like a mechanic, a cable satellite installer. It was pretty funny. He's wearing the Wyatt overalls. The whole time when the match started, it was Daniel Bryan and Rey Mysterio facing off against each other, and you could just see Rey saying, you can see him, "That's not you, that's not you, what are you doing?" But Daniel Bryan's a very aggressive attack on Rey, so he's kind of showing the heel. Where this goes, I still think he's going to be in this family for a while. We'll see. Paul believes that this is just a ruse, and it's going to come to a head at the Royal Rumble. So we'll see about that. Daniel Bryan gets at one point in there, he starts getting some of his kicks in there, and he gets more yes chants from the crowd, so they're not going to let him forget who he is. The ending comes when the Wyatts blind tag each other, and this distracts, and the Uso gets him with a roll up on Harper for the win. So a little dissension there, a little too maybe showing, you know, is it gonna transition into them already having problems or what? But it is what it is. Next we get Piper's Pit with his guest The Shield. An advertisement for Piper's Pit. Man, I really gotta work on my notes. I can't read my own writing, I'm horrible. But we get an advertisement for tonight's show will be Piper's Pit with The Shield. And we'll also get Punk versus Roman Reigns, which should be a good one. It's one match we haven't seen yet. We get another package for Batista coming back. It's a different one. I can't wait for that. It's going to be good. They come back from commercial, and Michael Cole announces that Batista has officially entered in the Royal Rumble. So that's kind of one of my changes. I guess got a bad feeling he's going to win it, even though he shouldn't win it. But Batista's probably going to win the Royal Rumble. So he's the official entrant. He's the first announced official entrant into the Royal Rumble. We get a replay of Sandow's promo and match from last week when he rolled up Kali, and even though Kali's shoulder was up, they got the pin. The special ref will be via the app. You got to go on the app to vote, and your choices are Sergeant Slaughter, Bob Backlund, and Arn Anderson. And I actually voted. I voted for Arn Anderson. We go on the back, and there's Kane and Brad Maddox. As you know, Kane was gone last week, and Brad Maddox was trash-talking him, talking shit about him. He threatens Maddox, saying he won't hurt him for talking shit to him, but that he might not ever see it coming. So we'll see. Big E, and we go to the back, and Big E's walking in the ring for his match, and we get some catchphrase. We see Nikolai Volkov singing the national anthem, the Russian national anthem. Get Ted DiBiase with his $20 belt, and IRS, and everyone's got a price for you. IRS. I remember when I was watching this that IRS's son is Bray Wyatt, and it's like, wow, they really don't look a lot alike. And we'll just see how his career goes. Because Bray Wyatt could possibly have a bigger career than IRS. IRS was a good tag team champion, you know, whether it was under his real name or, you know, it was VK Wall Street and WCW, NWO. Michael Wall Street, whatever it was. We'll see. We didn't get a break-in announcement that there's going to be a big announcement on Wednesday, and we had to find out it's for the WWE Network. I already talked about that. So next match is a rematch from SmackDown. Go figure. It's Axel versus Big E with Ryback on commentary. Big E wins with a big ending. We get a tease for Big E and Ryback. So yeah, Big E with a big win. We go to the back, and Hot Rod's walking in the ring. During this time that I realized that they're playing the old school Raw music. I don't know what we saw and realized it, and I love that old music. Not the ones now where we get actual bands doing it, so that was pretty cool. Piper starts to talk, and then the Shield's intro just interrupts Piper. Dean actually says, "Who gave this old man an active mic microphone?" Says the Shield was around when Piper wouldn't have made it to whatever my freaking notes say there. Well, my notes are really bad. I'm really gonna have to start writing these, typing these out better. Oh, you should be thanking God that Shield wasn't around in your time, or else you wouldn't have made it to 112 years old. And Piper was talking about there's only one man who's better, who's as good as him on the mic, and that's CM Punk. And if he beats Punk tonight, that means it makes him better than Roman Reigns. Reigns actually uses the line, "If you ever touch me again, I'll break your old ass in half." It was just a really good freaking, really good line by Roman Reigns. He's going to be a star. Shield goes to beat up Piper, but Punk and the New Age Outlaws come out for the save. So I was kind of surprised that the New Age Outlaws was with Punk. You figure Punk come out, but didn't know who with who. So that was kind of cool seeing them come out with him. They show a replay of Brock's return. Next match is Sin Junico versus Alberto Del Rio for the 5,423rd time. So during this, we do get a couple old school Sin Cara botches from Junico. So it looks like he is trying to be the same old Sin Cara. He misses his Swanton. Del Rio gets a stiff kick to the jaw for the win. It's actually a pretty tight kick, so it's pretty tough. Del Rio then cuts a promo saying they shouldn't talk about Batista coming back, because he's going to throw Batista out and he will get the win. So I don't know if they're going to start teasing. They're going to have a feud when he comes in, but that's kind of what they're already throwing out to here. During this time, we also get the word that, because I found out on the way, I missed the first 2 minutes of Raw, and I'm watching it later, but I was kind of following on Twitter, and I found out that they thought Jerry Lawler had a heart attack before the show, and ends up is at this point, Cole says that Lawler's fine, he just had a stomach virus, so he gets to hang out in the back with all the legends all day and just have fun talking to them. So Lawler's okay, not a second heart attack at a Raw show in 2 years. We then get a replay of the Wyatt match from earlier. We go to back and Daniel Bryan's talking to the two Wyatt members that aren't Bray. Excuse me. He says, Daniel Bryan says he wants to contribute to the group, and next week he wants to tag with either member of them in a match. Then Bray shows up and says he will tag with him, and so that makes Daniel Bryan happy. So next week we're going to get a tag match already with Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt. Don't know who the opponents are yet, but that's what it's going to be. Go to commercial, come back. And the Real Americans, they have the jobber entrance. Out come the Rhodes Brothers to their shitty back music. Good back and forth match. It finishes up with Goldust gets a hot tag. Goes for a spinning crossbody, and then Goldust hits the curtain call for the win. So, typical tag team match. Heel beat down on the heel, on the face, and hot tag. Goldust gets the win. We go to the back, and we get DDP and Booker T, and they're back there. DDP's plugging like crazy, DDP yoga. And I've already decided, because I put on a couple pounds still from the holidays, I'm going to shell out the $100 to get DDP yoga. Maybe it's better than going to the gym every day, because it's a little bit harder to lose weight than it did before. So that's looking like that might be a pretty good investment. During this time with DDP and Booker T, in comes Ron Simmons wearing his damn shirt, and then he gives us the good damn, which I'm not even going to try to do it because I sound like shit. Go to commercial, come back, and Sandow gets a jobber entrance, so they're really writing him out. And out comes Kali, and Ranjan sings with him, so his little brother's out there with him. It was at this point that, if you didn't see the show, they're dressed in old school, Monday Night Raw clothes, and JBL was dressed as, I was supposed to be Vince McMahon, but Cole calls him at this point. Here comes Ron Burgundy, so that's kind of funny. And then we get to find out that Slaughter won the app vote, and he's going to be the special referee for this. It's pretty much a squash match, and Kali just beating the hell out of Sandow, and then Slaughter counts to three as Sandow's foot is on the ropes for the entire three count. So it wasn't like one of those where he slipped it out and he put his foot in the last minute. It was there the whole time, and Slaughter even never attempts to see it. Of course, JBL gives him shit. Go to the back, and Brock Lesnar is walking to the ring. Come out of the ring, and Paulie, I love the way Paulie, Brock Lesnar, says that Brock will take out all members of the locker room. And so I'm thinking, who's going to come out this time? And out comes Mark Henry again. All bandage up, holding his ribs. He gets in the ring, gets a couple shots on Lesnar, but then he gets put in the Kimura lock, and then he, I use this with quotes, breaks his arm, because it's a weak arm break, just like it was with Triple H and Shawn Michaels last year. As Brock Lesnar's on his way to the back, the Big Show comes out, and he actually comes out. To me, he looked really like a badass. He's got the hoodie, the skull cap on, and his hands in his pockets. He's just walking out there, and Brock and Paul Heyman retreat back towards the ring a little bit. Big Show gets in the ring, gets distracted by Paul Heyman. Brock sneaks up on him, and Big Show just tossed him like it was nothing, and then gets out of the ring. That's what makes Brock Lesnar great. He is dominant. He is the most dominant guy on the roster when he's there, which is, to me, I mean, Paul kind of differ on this. He wants there Brock Lesnar every week. I'm okay with him coming and going, because Brock Lesnar is a guy that you will make sure, if you see him on TV, you're going to go watch it. You're going to stop what you're doing to go watch Brock Lesnar. And the way he sold the kind of fear he had of Big Show at this segment, it just came off really cool. It was a really great segment. It just reminded me about the time they had the match on SmackDown. Well, some odd years ago, we did a superplex and it collapsed the ring before they did it with Mark Henry and Big Show. So, but it was really, really good segment, because I was really disappointed until the Big Show came out. That's what made the segment better. The next match was the Bella Twins versus Oksana and Alicia Fox. So, time to check the football game at this point. This is when I came back and, good college football game, by the way. I'm not a big college fan, but that was a great national championship game. I didn't even see who won the match. I missed that, so I'm sorry. You guys don't get it. Go read it online if you want to find it, or go back and watch it. You will even be able to watch it on WWE Network in a month. Don't waste your time. We go to the back, and we see Rikishi and Too Cool, and they're coming to the ring, and Rikishi looks like he's put on a couple hundred more pounds. And Brian Lawler, Sky Grandmaster Sexy, he looked horrible. He looked like he put on about 150 pounds. But it's funny because Sky Too Hot, he looked great. I mean, his hair is cut though, but he's got a regular job now, and he's been taking care of himself. He was in great shape. We get to come back, and the 3MB got the job entrance, but it's also a pre-taped segment saying that their winning streak for 2014 starts tonight. So how come Too Cool and Sky Too Hotty? And have to tell you, his grandma sexy look fat. You get the usual Too Cool spots in there, including the worm. Rikishi wins when he just drops down on Jinder Mahal. I felt disappointed here because we never got a stink face from Rikishi. So I wasn't too happy about that. Then we come out with Mean Gene Okerlund. He does his little pluck for the hotline that he used to do at WCW all the time. That was kind of funny. He introduces all the legends. At this time, we get Bad News Barrett on his cool little ramp thing. And he says that bad things about the legend, mainly talking about how they're going to die soon. Which is kind of fucked up, but hilarious, too. So, Mean Gene didn't come out for that legend. She was reading ahead. Mean Gene came out after that, after the commercial. And he pimps his hotline here, like the old WCW days. Then he intros the New Age Outlaws, who do their own little shtick, and then they intro Piper, and they intro Punk. So we get Punk versus Reigns, and this is just a great match. Not a lot of notes, because I actually watched this live, but Punk and Reigns, good match, lots of false finishes. There's some shenanigans going outside, and it ended with Reigns hitting the spear on Punk and got the win. So great, great match. I could probably do a little bit better with the notes, but this is the kind of match that it's the start of really making Reigns a beast, and he's a guy who's gonna have that breakout 2014. He came off as a winner here. Punk ends up hitting a go to sleep on Dean Ambrose, and then Jake the Snake's music hits, and the announcers acted like they didn't know who was going on. Like, what is that? Who's that? I knew exactly, because I said, I've been watching wrestling for, 25 plus years. And Jake Snake coming out, he looked fantastic. So most people know he battled addiction for a long, long time. And he really, DDP helped him. He helped him get back on track. He's done the same thing with Scott Hall. They both look great. But I mean, if you ever watch it outside the mat, there's parts in there where Jake Snake was smoking crack, and he had a couple of relapses last year with alcohol, but for the most part, Jake looked fantastic. Old, yes. Balding, yes. His hair is not long anymore. He's got a short cut and the huge bald spot, but he looked great. He comes in and he brings out his bag. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to name this podcast this too. At one point, JBL says, "What's in the bag?" And it's just stupidity. I thought that was one of the dumbest lines that you could ever say, "What's in the bag?" That's his laundry. He's just bringing his laundry out to give the freaking Dean Ambrose so he can make him get it done for him. Just a dumb line. Didn't like it. I thought it was kind of stupid. But that's what I'm going to name the podcast. What's in the bag? Jake ends up getting the snake out, and he puts it on Dean Ambrose, who's passed out but is smiling. And you can just know the thought process in his head is, I cannot believe I'm here getting a snake thrown on me by Jake the Snake Roberts, because he had this shit-eating grin on his face while he's knocked out. It was just a really great, this is the kind of stuff that shows that these guys are fans too. That's why they became wrestlers. So, surprised, because no one knew Jake the Snake was coming out. It was kind of spoiled about 2 minutes before he actually came out. Triple H tweeted a picture of the snake bag and said, "What's in the bag?" Yeah, they even said, "What's in the bag?" So, yep, that's what's going to name the podcast for sure. But, very big surprise. Didn't even know he was there. Heard that Hulk Hogan was there, and he never showed up. But just a great overall, with a couple little things out of there, Raw, because you got to see all these legends, which I'm always happy to see legends. And on top of that, they weren't really stuffed down our throats this time. And the surprise of Jake the Snake, of a healthy Jake the Snake Roberts coming out it was just fantastic. And there's talk about him possibly being in the Royal Rumble match, which is cool. I'm okay with that. Don't want him to have a long run back. His body probably really can't take it. But great, great segment. And just a great Raw, seeing all these guys. And then I can't help it enough but to talk about the WWE Network. And I can't help but look forward to going back to all those old pay-per-views, watching some of that old stuff. It's gonna be fantastic. Not gonna have a lot of sleepless nights just watching this stuff. So we'll see. But yeah, that's my show. Sorry, the quality is not that great tonight. I want to get the show done because I don't like waiting till the week. I don't like waiting to deep into the weekend, especially with the playoffs going on and everything. And I want to spend some time with the family. But hey, again, thanks for listening. I really like to go on there. I do check the numbers just to see who's looking. And it's, like I said, it's humbling to know that people actually listen to it. I'm going to get Paul back on here to do another co-show with me, because that was fun. Kind of a banter back and forth with him. Had a good time with him. So don't forget, my Twitter handle for the show is Cast of Champion, at Cast of Champion, just like that. Go on there, follow me. I like to tweet out different things, especially during the shows, and I tweet a lot during the actual show. Like one was where is Nick and Midian? Would like to have seen Nick and Midian out there. But facebook.com/castofthechampions. Don't forget to go check out the NitroCast. Relive some of the old WCW days. And this week you hear a little bit about World War III and who wins World War III and how it leads to the future. Excuse me. So, having said that, I wish you all adieu and enjoy football this weekend. I'll catch you on the flip side next week. Take it easy. That there were more than 24 hours in the day.
Even if there were 40 more, I wouldn't sleep a minute away.